Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. We've had a little bit of a difficulty this morning, technical difficulty, but we're glad to be on. This is a very important day in America, the day before the primary elections, and so we're just so glad, Ms. Barbara, that we still are in the land of the free, the home of the brave, but we have to do our part, right?
Well, that's right. Each one of us should watch over our freedom as if no one else were doing it. One of our great founding fathers said something to that effect, that each one of us must guard and be vigilant to guard the freedom that we've been given as if no one else was doing it, as if it all depended upon us alone. So we have a responsibility, we have a duty to do that, to be involved, to be informed, and to hold accountable those that we place in public service.
Oh, indeed. And Ms. Barbara, as always, you know, we are so privileged to really be able to do a lot of really amazing interviews and gain so much knowledge. And also ourselves, you know, as citizens, we go to a lot of meetings to just really learn more. So before we get started, I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, we'd like to start everything off.
Okay, thank you, Diana. I'd like to begin. You know, we do begin with prayer at City on a Hill Radio Show and end with prayer most every day, most every radio show. And, you know, to begin with prayer is so very important. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths." And that's our desire, that God would direct our paths. That's why we're here. And anything that we would do in and of ourselves is in vain, absolutely in vain. But what he does in us and through us is lasting and it has significance and value, and that is true for all of his children. We have no goodness of our own, no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says, and our goodness, well, the only goodness that we have in us is the Lord himself when he comes to dwell in us on this earth, and that we hold that treasure in these old earthen vessels, and he changes us and helps us to become what he wants us to become. So we are going to acknowledge our God as we are commanded to do, and as it is our privilege and our pleasure to do. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you allow us to come before you, Lord. It's such a privilege, and it is a pleasure, Father. And we're so grateful that your arms are open to us, Lord. That door, that doorway to you, Lord, has been opened through your Son when you sent him down to this earth to leave the glory of heaven and come on down to earth, that he would make a way back up to you for all mankind that will trust in you, trust in him, as the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Father, that you desire for your life to be in each person, Lord, that you desire for each one here on earth to receive you and to receive your life and to receive, Father, your blessing, your instruction, and, Father, your guidance. So we ask for that this day for us on this radio show. Father, we look around, Father, and we see that so many things are, we're seeing the consequences of so many wrong decisions by many, Father. And we're looking to you, Father, that you would lead us and guide us back to you, Lord. We pray our hearts will be turned towards you, and that that you would, Father, help us in every way. We pray for our troops, for safety and protection, especially in Afghanistan during the tumult and turmoil there. We pray for our troops' families, that your love and support would be there for them, Father, in every way. And, Father, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the protection of Israel, Father, from terrorism. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to you, Diana.
Ms. Barbara, I don't know if it's me, but I'm hearing a lot of static. I am on a different headset this morning, so it may be that. I'm going to take it off and let you see if this sounds a little bit better.
Okay.
Okay, back to Ms. Barbara.
No. Do you think it could be mine?
Oh, do you have another
Did phone? You hear it before I was on?
I don't think so. I think it is.
Well, let's try it, though, if we could. Let me get right back with you.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
Okay, I'll go ahead and tell the listeners what's coming up. You know, we're just really so privileged here to have Grace Marie Turner join us every month. And she is going to be joining us this Friday. Healthcare is such a big, important issue. Everybody wants to be taken care of. But I think we are being told that the government can do it. They can take care of us well. But what we don't realize is because government is going to have to run it with their own set of priorities, our priorities may not look like theirs. And so that's a very real issue. And so we're so grateful that Grace Marie will be on Friday. Ms. Barbara, are you back on? Okay, she's not. We're going to try and we're going to say a little bit more about what's coming up this week. This coming Tuesday, tomorrow, we're going to have a little bit of time with, I think Ms. Barbara has tried her other phone, so we're going to try to do this again.
Okay. Hey.
Ms. Barbara, that's better.
I guess it was coming from my end, huh?
That was, well, it was staticky.
Sorry
well,
about that.
If you
I
can
am
hear
so
me,
sorry.
That's good. Oh, that's all right. I had a problem this morning getting on myself. Been really, really busy. Got a lot of things going on. And Ms. Martha Roby is going to be on with us just a few minutes because when we try to schedule these things, unfortunately, the time that we, you know, we come on doesn't always, you know, it's always in conflict with something. And she has a committee meeting, but she's going to try to get on for a little bit. And so, Ms. Barbara, that's, you know, it's always good to touch base with her a little bit about what she's up to. So we're going to be excited about that tomorrow. I'm talking about Martha Roby's coming on tomorrow.
Well, do you want to address anything in particular with her?
When this Martha, well, let me think about it. I think I've got a lot of things I'd like to address with her. But in that little bit of time, we're not going to be able to address. But
right.
I'd like to figure out which one's most important. So how about you, Ms. Barbara?
Well, a couple of things. I know that from the weekly report, I saw where two bills are being introduced into the House. I think she's co-sponsoring them regarding education. And I was just thinking, you know, I just wish that we could just instead of adding new laws, which sound good, Diana, they sound really good. However, if we could just get rid of some of the old laws, you know, looks to me like unless a law that is passed supersedes one that's been passed before it and just negates it totally, you know, both of us and so many others are concerned about Common Core standards, where the federal government dictates from the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., down to the states, what is to be taught, how it's to be taught, when it's to be taught, and so forth. And so we're concerned about that, and we desire that that would just be totally repealed, or, you know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, I've not had a chance to see that, but, you know, I feel a little bit like sometimes what Rick Santorum says. Your hands get kind of stuck, you know, in regard to, you know, the charge against him that, you know, he approved some monies for Planned Parenthood. And, you know, he tried to set in there an anti-Planned Parenthood part, you know, of the bill, which is to set up the counter to it, which is abstinence program. And, you know, we know that is good. And so I don't know. I'm like you, though. I wish they would just get rid of the Common Core standards, just like I wish they'd get rid of all these Obamacare stuff that now we're seeing. And, you know, we were at a meeting yesterday, Ms. Barbara, you know, as citizens of the great state of Alabama. And you know, that was a concerning thing, I know, about the Obamacare issue. And the more you know about it, even what it's doing in our state, the more troubling it is.
Well, indeed, you know, it is being dictated by at the national level. However, it's only through the states that it will be implemented. And if the states are cooperating with the Obama administration, even before the decision comes from the Supreme Court, whether it is going to be ruled unconstitutional or not, and we believe it is going to be ruled unconstitutional because it is unconstitutional, if the states are cooperating with the Obama administration already, for example, I believe Alabama has received $9 million in funds to begin implementing parts of this health insurance exchange. And that was done, I believe, through Governor Bentley's executive order, order number 17. You know, if we're already cooperating with it, that's very alarming, and the people of Alabama need to know it, because Diana, the people of Alabama and the people of every state in this union protested loudly, clearly, determinedly against Obamacare and all the implications, it taking over around a fourth of the economy and changing our free market system totally, and the idea that we're going to allow our government to dictate and tell us what to do, what we have to buy, what we have to, it's just all wrong. It's turning into a totalitarian government, a dictatorship, or an oligarchy ruled by the few over the many, you know? So there's just a lot that is so terribly alarming with it.
Ms. Barbara, maybe this is too simplifying it, but sometimes, you know, these people have good intentions. Romney had good intention in starting up, you know, Obamacare, so he thinks, Romneycare, which is really Obamacare, in his state. But yet, I wonder if sometimes their good intentions come about because of lack of knowledge of the Constitution's intent, original intent. I mean, Ms. Barbara?
Yes, I'm here.
What do you think about that? Because sometimes I'm hearing this about Governor Bentley, too. He has good intentions for the state of Alabama. And I remember reading articles where I think he was for a health exchange even before Obamacare. And I know we're seeing, you know, I'm looking right now at an article from our Grace Marie Turner, which is Obamacare's Fatal Flaws by Grace Marie. And it's on, I think this was on, printed out by National Review Online. And it says right here, Obamacare's Fatal Flaws. This was put out December 5, 2011 by Grace Marie. And it said Congress made a serious drafting error in the health overhaul law when it said that subsidies could be delivered through state exchanges but not through any federal fallback exchanges. The Obama administration has been trying to an end run around the problem by ordering the IRS to simply say in its proposed regulations that the subsidies can be delivered through either type of exchange. This is a big issue because a growing number of states are refusing to create exchanges. If they don't, the feds can come in and set one up, but these will be relatively useless if they cannot deliver the subsidies. And it says right here, Senator Orrin Hatch, ranking Republican in the Senate Finance Committee, blew the whistle on the proposed IRS rule. In a letter to Tim Geithner, an IRS commissioner, Doug Shulman, Hatch says the law is clear that only state exchanges can offer the subsidies, emphasizing that the administration doesn't have the authority to go beyond the language of the law. Contrary to the clear wording of the statute, your proposed regulations suggest otherwise extending the availability of premium credits to those participating in federal exchanges. I'm concerned that if finalized, these rules would exceed your regulatory authority, violating the Constitution's separation of powers. And I know that our own Governor Bentley, I think, is trying to follow the administration and go ahead and get it done, you know, before, is it 2014? And because I think I've read an article about that. But I guess all this I'm saying, you know, there's problems right there already. But I think if a person, even though they have the greatest intention, and that's what you warn us again, right, Ms. Barbara, simple truth is that our Constitution does not allow for everybody's needs to be met, and that's what we're doing. We have fallen away from what the federal government can do and what the states can do.
Well, you know, you take away from one to give to the needs of another. That's not the proper role of government at all, and I think that's where it needs to begin. To examine what is the proper role of government in our society. Well, the Founding Fathers looked at that very carefully. They studied, they analyzed every form of government from the history of the world, And they said, none are adequate to our situation. And they put in place a system that protected the private property of every individual, no matter how much money an individual had or how little money an individual had. They looked at Diana? Hello? Diana?
Okay, Miss Barbara, are you still on? I hope I hadn't made you deaf. Okay, we apologize for that. We are having a little bit of a technical difficulty, and I'm sure Miss Barbara will be joining us again shortly. But there she is.
Hello,
Miss Barbara. I apologize for that. Oh my goodness, we are just having technical difficulties. I hope you're not being made dumb and deaf from all that. Are you still there?
That was something, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Something stuck on a key and it just would not go off until I had to reset everything, but I'm glad you came back on. But anyway, what you were saying?
Right. I was talking about, you know, with some systems of government are different from ours, and they have not worked nearly as well as ours. I mean, they can't even compare in success as ours has been successful. And that system of government, the Founding Fathers looked at the proper role of government. What is the function of government? And Diana, I alluded to this yesterday in the Tea Party event. The Alabama Constitution says it very clearly in Article 1, Section 35, that the sole and only legitimate object of government is to protect the citizen in his enjoyment of life, liberty, and property. And when the government assumes any other function, it is usurpation and oppression. And, you know, and basically the United States Constitution in the preamble states the proper role of government. It lists six functions of government. And education is not one of them. Health care is not one of them. Feeding the hungry is not listed. Housing and sheltering is not one of them. All these social programs that are being funded now, when you take away money from one, take away from Peter to get to Paul, the money that he rightfully earned. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson said, do not take from the mouth of labor, the bread it has earned, and the Founding Fathers were very adamant about that. And they were not just looking out for themselves. They were looking out for every individual who earned money, and all of them did. They all worked in one capacity or another. But this was the land of opportunity, because we serve the God of all opportunity. And they wanted people to be able to work hard and accomplish their goals, their dreams, in this land of opportunity, where they could produce, use their gifts and abilities that God had given them, and to have upward mobility, to just gain as much as they could for themselves and their family, and fulfill God's plan for them, and pursue their dreams and their hopes and their aspirations. And what we have now is very different.
Well, I was just thinking, Ms. Barbara, you know, what you've reminded me in the past, and we've heard it in the past, and I can't remember if it was you or Mr. Wayne that mentioned how when they start off with taxation, is very minute, but even at that, it was worrisome because they were seeing, even though it was a minute amount, a minute percentage, they saw down the road what was going to happen. And, you know, we've interviewed Tea Party Italia, Luca Bocci, and he tells us that the true rate of that taxation is 79% in Italy, and that's where we're going. And, again, as Neil Mammon, who is our new one of our new guests is going to, I pray, be a regular, has shown us, you know, in what is really that socialism. You know, it's as you said, it's really somebody else's work for you, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to give you rights. It's really, you know, it's not constitutionally provided, and somebody else is going to have to work harder to provide your rights.
That's right. That's right. And everywhere this has been tried, it has failed, except to put into the hands of a few great power, great authority, tremendous wealth. It's not a redistribution of the wealth. It's a redistribution of poverty, and it's control of the wealth by a few. And that's what socialism, communism does. There will be those, you know, everyone is equal, but some are more equal than others. Those the elite who want to control, they want this power and they want this control, and they want to control the wealth, they will be making the decisions. They're not going to be living in poverty at all, but everyone else will. And we can see that in Cuba. We can see it in former Soviet Union and those places where this idea has been allowed to grow and take over. But back to the what you were referring to, the income tax, which was implemented in 1913, that was the time in our country, the age of quote-unquote progressivism. Progressivism is a euphemism to cover up the takeover by the government, to use the force of government to change society. And it sounds like it's a good thing, like progress. But progressivism is a philosophy of government. Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt before Woodrow Wilson to a degree, and just recently, well, in the past couple of years, Hillary Clinton has referred to herself as a progressive in the pattern of those men, FDR and Woodrow Wilson, so forth. So we got the income tax, and at that time it was such a minute percentage, but the fact that we allowed it, it took an amendment because it was unconstitutional, it was illegal, and according to the Constitution, it was not to be permitted. So it required a change in the Constitution, an amendment. We got the 16th Amendment. And how it passed, I don't know, unless everyone was asleep, but it was passed. And when we gave the government the authority to take a little, we opened the door, and they began taking more and more and more, which is the nature of government to do so, to grow in size and power and wealth and take away from the people more and more. As freedom decreases, government increases. As government increases, freedom decreases.
And, Ms. Barbara, I'm just looking here at Grace Marie Turner's article, which is the problem. It sounds like if states are doing exchanges, fine, but the states that don't want to, the feds can come in and set one up, and then it becomes a problem. And I'm thinking, I wonder if this is kind of like what's going to be brewing for Alabama, if Bentley does set up a health exchange, you know, a state. He's doing a state exchange where the federal government does not have to come in.
Apparently he already did with Executive Order 17 and received $9 million worth of funds to do it.
Well, is this a, I mean, I can see a lawsuit in the future, and there is a problem with where the feds thinks that, you know, they have to come in and do one, and where the state does one, they're okay. And I'm wondering, this sounds a little bit, I wonder if this has anything to do with what we heard yesterday.
Well, I think so. I think so. You're talking about at the Tea Party event here where we...
If you don't mind, clarify that for them.
I'm sorry?
If you don't mind, share that, your take on that, what you heard at that Tea Party event in regard to that.
Well, when we questioned Chief Justice Malone, Chuck Malone, regarding Obamacare and everything, well, he was chief of staff for Governor Bentley when Governor Bentley was doing this. And so, you know, I wanted to know, you know, how in what it was, the health insurance exchange, and what the connection is to the federal government, and what, you know, this is part of Obamacare, and also then, of course, if Obamacare comes before the Alabama Supreme Court, would he have to recuse himself, which he would, because he was a part of implementing it as Governor Bentley's chief of staff. But the way, what I got out of it was that it's so complicated, he couldn't explain it to us. And because, I mean, I came away from that, his explanation, not knowing any more than I did before, except it was called a health insurance exchange, and yeah, there it was connected with this Obamacare, and it, you know, I wanted also to know if it had anything to do with Medicaid, and but it sounds, and I'm just wondering if anyone understands it. If you know, if you understand something, you can explain it where others can understand it, right?
Yeah.
And if you can't explain it, then you probably don't understand it yourself.
Then why are we getting into it?
Well, exactly. I mean, first of all, we should not be getting into it because the government does not have, we do not give the government the power to control our lives and take away our property without our consent. We have not consented to this. And it is before the United States Supreme Court. There should be a ruling midsummer, June, July, by the Supreme Court. And we're thinking and hoping and praying that they just strike it all down as unconstitutional. The more we get into the 2,000-page-plus law, the more rotten we see it is. I mean, and we objected before we even began to see what all was in it. We know that there's a 15-panel advisory. You remember the death panel that Sarah Palin talked about? It's in there.
Yeah.
And they are going to ration care, and particularly for seniors. We know that in that Obamacare, $575 billion has been taken out of Medicare and put in, and then more put into Medicaid. So, you know, he's taking from the old people to put into
young
or the younger,
and welfare roles. The welfare roles really
create a greater dependency there. But
yeah,
you know, it's just all rotten, and it's wrong, and it is unconstitutional, and needs to be struck down. So why?
Well, I'm looking here at Governor Bentley signs executive order creating Alabama Health Insurance Exchange Study Commission. He did that on June the 3rd, 2011. The duty of the commission is to study, make recommendations on the most effective way for the state to move forward with establishment of the Alabama Health Benefits Exchange. And that was June. And
okay, does that say anything about Obamacare? It is part of it. Does it say that?
Yeah, okay, my vision, he says here, my vision for a health insurance exchange started before federal health care reform. The Alabama Insurance Exchange should enable us to better manage the cost of health care while also providing Alabamians with more choices for health insurance coverage. It says this is a study that will make Alabama compliant with federal health care reform.
There's the rub. Yes, indeed. It will help us get ready for the feds to take over.
It says, let's see. Oh, okay. At a minimum, the commission must address the type of entity that should house the insurance exchange, the makeup of its board, analysis of resources needed for operating, sustaining it, the specific functions of the effects, and the effects of the interactions between the Alabama Exchange and relevant insurance markets, existing health programs, and agencies like Medicaid and public health.
Okay, so now what did they say there?
It says it's going to address the type of entities that should be in it. This analysis of the resources needed for operating and sustaining it. And also the functions and the effects of the interaction between it and agencies like Medicaid and public health.
Ah.
It says Alabama Medicaid Agency Director.
So it does have to do with Medicaid.
Well, let me say a little bit more, Ms. Barbara. It says Alabama Medicaid Agency Director Dr. R. Bob Mullins, Jr. adds Medicaid will be redefined to cover a much broader segment of the population than it has traditionally done in the past. We cannot afford to fall behind the development of health benefits exchange since our ability to pull down federal funds for our health information network is closely tied to compliance with the development of insurance exchange.
Okay, we can't afford what, Diana? Tell me in your own words.
Okay.
What is it we can't afford?
Medicaid will be redefined to cover a much broader segment. We can't afford to fall behind on the development of a health benefits exchange. This is from the Medicaid Agency Director of Alabama. It says, we can't afford to fall behind on the development of this exchange, health benefits exchange, since our ability to pull down federal funds for our health information network is closely tied to compliance with the development of the insurance exchange. So they've got to get this done.
So we took the money.
Now, this one was, it says, the commission must present its recommendations to Governor and the legislature by December 1. Now, what's happened in December 1, that's really what we need to look up. Because I know you were concerned about an executive order.
Well, an executive order is supposed to be, because the executive branch is to enforce the laws made by the legislature. Only the legislature is given the power to make law by the people. We the people, that's how the Constitution begins. That's how the state constitution, the national constitution, we the people. And so it's we the people giving some of our power to government to do certain things. And so I lost my train of thought, Diana.
It's all very dangerous. Sounds like, you know, this thing's really moving faster than.
I know what I was going to say. So anyway, yeah, I'm sorry. But so we don't give the government, we don't give the executive branch the power to make law. Neither do we delegate it to the judicial branch. We the people give the legislative branch only the power to make law. The executive branch is charged with the function of executing that law that the legislature makes or enforcing the law that the legislature makes. An executive order is not to make a new law. It's not to make a new policy. The legislature makes the policies through the laws. Now, if the executive branch, if the governor, in our case, wants something, he can ask, he can propose it to the legislature, and they can work it through the process that it would become a law made by them, and then it would be going to him for his signature, his approval, or his disapproval with a veto. You know, he has that role. But an executive order is not just a decision made by the governor, in this case, or the president at the national level, and the executive to just arbitrarily make a policy change. That's not the purpose of the executive order.
So really, it sounds like, Ms. Barbara, there's things that was due to be presented in December, so right about now probably is when something may be going to be presented to the legislature. Is that what it sounds like?
I don't know. It said something happened December 1st.
Well, it was supposed
already
to be presented
happened?
Before the the commission was supposed to have their ideas presented to the legislature. So that was in December, but I don't know what's happening right now. He created the Executive Order 17 on June 2, 2011, and that was to the study that I think we were talking about. But the study was supposed to present something to the legislature in December. So, this is something that we're going to have to chase after and find out what Alabama's legislature. It says all that's been done so far is he established a study commission. Level one establishment grant, $8,592,139. That's the amount you were talking about. So, we've got to chase after and find out what else they have done with it. I think something's probably in the works right now, don't you reckon, Ms. Barbara? I'm not finding anything in the news, but I bet something is brewing right now.
You know, you just kind of get the feeling that everything doesn't make it really to the news, or if it does make it, it's in a real condensed version where you can't get to the bottom of it. I mean, that's my feeling on this whole thing. I think if Alabamians realized that we were on our way to Obamacare, they'd be up very upset.
Well, I think after that yesterday, there's going to be more information coming out, don't you? I mean, I'm already hearing a little bit.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, Obamacare, which would just destroy our economy and our country and our good health care that we have, you know, Obamacare, the American people rose up with a solid unity against it. And, of course, it was passed by the Democrats regardless of the protests against it and you know, the Tea Party's opposition and the American people's screams. I mean, really, shouts and screams against it. And it didn't matter. They went ahead with it and shoved it down our throats. And so if it's starting to be step-by-step implemented in our state, and I believe it is in some other states as well, you know, we have a right to know, and we have a right to know in plain language.
Well, they make it sound so good, Ms. Barbara, you know, and a lot of these people have good intentions, but they forget that, you know, your good intentions really is not the most important thing. You have got to compare it to the Constitution. Because, you know, you may want to help everybody, but in the end, you will hurt everybody because, and that's why the Founding Fathers always said, let's look ahead, right? let's
absolutely
look ahead.
Absolutely. And they knew that they were building for the future of their children and grandchildren, their posterity. And they always examined as to possible consequences and ramifications for their decisions, you know, because they were building for the future. But we seem to forget that. We seem to just look at the short range, what we want to do and how we want to do it, without considering the unintended consequences as well as the intended consequences.
Let me point again. I'm sorry, I'm getting excited here because I'm reading another article. He said, you know, as I've said many times, my vision for an Alabama health insurance exchange existed before any federal health care reform effort began, Bentley said. Alabama health insurance exchange, specifically tailored to the needs of Alabama, should ensure that our citizens have numerous options when shopping for health insurance coverage. Why can't that be done through private insurance? Why can't that be done?
It's always been done through private health care. I mean
it's,
you know, we have a free market system. We were supposed to have a free market system. It's not supposed to be government doing all this. Government needs to get their hands out of our pockets and off of our health care and get back to that narrow, defined role. As Madison said, the powers of the national government are few and defined. The rest belong to the states and the people, respectively. So you've got some duties for the national government, some for the state government, and most would be for the state and not for the national. Madison also said that, you know, in times of peace, that the national government should only have about 5% of the power. The states should have the rest, and the people, respectively. So, Diana.
Another point, let me go ahead and just tell you this. This is an article, again, in November 29, 2011. It says here, State Representative Jim McClendon, a Republican of Springville, was a co-chairman of the commission, said he expects a new agency would cost about $50 million a year to operate with about 30 employees. The goal is to have a website where people can come.
What new agency? We're growing government again?
The state exchanges that are required to be running by 2014.
Oh, yeah. I see. It's going to take a lot of money, and it's going to take a
50,
lot of people. Growing government.
For
I thought they were trying to reduce the size of government. I thought the Republicans were, you know.
Well, let me tell you what he says here. He's saying, he said the goal is to have a website where people can compare plans and prices and coverage and make a choice. The employees would help consumers navigate the process and act as consumer watchdogs to investigate the complaints. You would sit down with your family and say, here's what we think we need. You would go to the website, put in the demographics of your family, your needs, and several plans for you to select from. Today, most people don't have a choice.
They're going to predetermine our choices, and they're going to give us the big job, and they're going to let us sit down with our family. And after they have narrowed the field and they've done all the work, and then they're going to let us make the decision between the choices that government has made for us. Is that right?
That's what it sounds like. I'm not. Today, most people don't have a choice. Ms. Barbara, $50 million a year to operate.
Do you think we're mature enough to do that, Diana?
Is that the nanny government that we keep hearing? Don't they realize what they sound like when they say these things?
Yes. They must not think we can learn very much. They must have been listening to Al Gore. We're in the third grade.
Well, I think it's terrible. The more I read about what they're saying, Ms. Barbara, it's the more shocking. Now, for people, I think people are, these days, though, they better wake up. Santorum, thank God, you know, there's that election primary coming. And, you know, this man should never have had a chance from the way you hear everybody. But you know what he's sticking to everybody on? Obamacare. And, Ms. Barbara, how good of God to to have given him a dose of reality. He has a child, a baby, that would be, if this Obamacare goes full force, she would be the first one. You know, if I had a child like that, she would be the first one to go. For the naysayers to say that will never happen, we know better, because we know there's a bottom to the money. We don't have the money. And I love my family. I've always said that. But the government will have to see to it that only certain people get the quality care they want, because everybody cannot be serviced. Right, Ms. Barbara?
That's right. They will pick, they will choose who the quality, whether they will be able to have a quality of life worth preserving. And they did this in other places. And the handicapped were not considered by the governments of some other places. The handicapped were not considered to have lives of quality worth preserving. And so the handicapped were among those that were taken first. But if it's determined that before a child is born, and that's why, you know, you have this this abortion, they want abortion funding, they want, you know, to not only to determine sex like they do in China with the one-child policy, but with the government implementing that. But also, if a child is handicapped, they want that child aborted so that that the life, the care, because of the cost of medical care.
And Ms. Barbara, Santorum was ridiculed about the euthanasia numbers, the figures that he had gave in a speech or something, but I looked it up. Dutch euthanasia numbers rise. And what is so horrible is a lot of these are not being reported. They says only about 80% of instances are registered with a monitoring body. It's not known how many cases of mercy killing there actually are in the Netherlands. And then there are certain ones that are in regard to the infants, there's no, telling if those are even being reported. They says information was not provided in the government report on how many infants born with disabilities are euthanized based on the request of parents and the agreement of the physician. It says the Netherlands does not collect information on how many people die with disabilities by euthanasia. So, you know, even that is not in the figure. And so I think, you know, we have a road here that we really, if we use our brains, we can figure out where it's going to lead. And Sarah Palin was right, as you were saying. There is, unfortunately, going to be a death panel. They will not call it a death panel. It will be some beautiful wording, you know, quality exchange. Something,
yeah.
Healthcare exchange.
Quality
but, you know, that
of life.
Oh, yes.
Of life,
they word it so beautifully.
Panel. Yes. Well, you know, Diana, here in the United States, we have a professor, a tenured professor at Princeton University. His name is Peter Singer, and he has long advocated that parents have their children and be allowed to murder them up to about 1 or 2 years of age. And, this is an American university. And he's been teaching and preaching this hatred and atheism and for many years. In the Netherlands, you mentioned the Netherlands. Well, in Sweden, back in 1994, there was a doctor who was on trial before the highest court for having helped a woman take her own life, commit suicide, because she was depressed. That court absolved him of all guilt, and they expanded the reasons for euthanasia. The doctors could help people in their country kill themselves for virtually any reason. This was a depressed young woman, and the physician helped her kill herself, and he was not punished in any way, so they expanded that provision for euthanasia there. And that's what happens.
Well, we're on dangerous grounds, and I'm praying.
We are.
We'll be praying.
We're about out
of
time.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and give this website, Ms. Barbara. It says NCSL, National Conference of State Legislatures. There is a page that has a map there, and I'll try to post it on Facebook, State Actions to Implement Health Insurance Exchanges. I think this is a really good page to look at. It sees where the states are, and we really need to get to know more what all our states are doing, Ms. Barbara. I'm just really shocked. The more you know, the more shocking it is, because it sounds like, you know, there's plans to do with it certain ways, and but anyway, but God's a big God. Thank God that it has come out, Ms. Barbara. I thank God that, you know, I mean, I thank God that I went to that meeting yesterday as a citizen, because had I not, I would not have heard what I heard, which, you know, God does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge. There is information out there. And now that we've heard, you know, other people are hearing it, and they'll be sharing it. And Obamacare is one of the biggest issues in this country today.
It is.
If not the main issue.
It is not
just a fiscal policy issue. It is also a social issue, which God takes care of us physically and spiritually, right, Ms. Barbara? I mean, yeah,
that's
this is
right.
Complete. It deals with both things. And, yes, we have to be concerned with the social side of it as well as the fiscal side of it. And God is holding a mirror up to say, okay, is this what you want? Because down the road, you're going to see what's going to happen. It is going to kill you. You will be a number. You will be a statistic. Somebody will determine when you will die. That sounds harsh, Ms. Barbara, but when I become a number, that's what happens, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And, Diana, before you give your closing thoughts and lead us in prayer, I'd just like to remind everyone that we establish governments to protect our God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and property as well. That's why we establish governments, to protect our lives, our liberties, and our properties, not take them away, not take them away.
And it is very worrisome when you hear people that are running for office, Ms. Barbara, getting into things that they don't understand. They need to be standing in the gap for us, don't you think? If they do not understand it, they need to be standing in the gap for us and preventing it.
They need to understand our system of government and the Constitution and Declaration, the principles upon which our nation was founded.
Mm. Well, listeners, this election, you know, it is a matter of life and death. And to a lot of children like Bella, it is very, very important. It will come sooner than later for them, than maybe some of us. But still, no one will escape it. So it is very important to get to know Obamacare. Even a little bit of it is bad enough. Oh, my goodness. May God help us. So we're going to give it to God.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you are God and nothing is hard for you. And, Lord, we just thank you that you do say that my people perish for lack of knowledge, and you would that we do not lack for knowledge. You said for us that you have said to us in your word that you are looking for true worshipers, and that they are to worship in spirit and in truth. And just in the subject of Obamacare again, Lord, it just shows to us more clearly how we have to know the truth, how unkind it would be to our brothers and sisters, Lord, to allow the full implementation of this law. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this nation that you had inspired, so that life, liberty, and the pursuit, Lord, of happiness
that, Lord, to be seen according to your eyes, not our eyes. Lord, that life is most important. Lord, it is your gift for us, a free gift, Lord, life, that no man should be taking away. But, Lord, we have given rights to men, and now we have a government that would convince the common man that I do this for your own good. Lord, the enemy has never changed his tactics, just like in the Garden of Eden. He's still the great deceiver, the great liar. And, Lord, we come before you knowing that, Lord, we do not have what it takes to know everything. But we ask you to show us what you want us to know. Lord, it does not take a brain scientist to know that to love others, Lord, there are many things we must do, and one of them is to find out the truth. So I just pray, Lord, that the listeners today will start with finding the truth, Lord, just as we have here, Lord. There's so many things on the internet. Lord, the words of our leaders are right there before our eyes. And, Lord, it may be that our leaders do not realize what they're doing. It may be that in their thoughts they're trying to do something good. But, Lord, when man tries to promote things his way through his eyes, we fail. And that's why it is so important, Lord, to come before you and ask you to give us wisdom, Lord, because man has none. On his own, we have none. Lord, our wisdom is foolishness. Lord, our righteousness are as filthy rags. So right now, Lord, we ask you to cleanse us of our sins as a people, as a nation. We ask for your mighty hand of protection upon leaders, Lord, that are trying to promote your ways, that are trying to bring us back, Lord, to remembering that our laws, our rights, they come from you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the awesome truth in that. And that is something we can stand on. And that is something, Lord, that you had inspired the writers of the Declaration to forge. And that you have sent the Constitution to be made to enforce. And just we just pray that your people will get to know more about their true history, Lord, the original intent in the Constitution, Lord, so that your ways will be proclaimed, Lord, so that instead of a culture of death, Lord, we will become a nation that again promotes the culture of life. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you bless the listeners, Lord. We ask that you bless this podcast. Let people start searching on their own, Lord, and let them find the right information. But first, I pray they will ask you, first of all, for wisdom, and may you give it to them enormously, greatly. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray that you will give our leaders wisdom too, Lord. We pray that their hearts will be softened, that they will say to themselves, I don't know, but I will ask of the Lord. And I pray you will speak to them. In Jesus' name we pray these things, Lord. Amen. Ms. Barbara, would you close us?
I would. Thank you so much, Diana. And listeners, please remember to tune in tomorrow. We have Representative Martha Roby from the 2nd District of Alabama. She's on some very important committees in Washington, the Education Committee, the Armed Forces Committee. And she'll be with us at 1:30 tomorrow. So tune in. Tell your friends and families to tune in, wherever you live, at cityonthehill.tv. And we do thank you for joining us today. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you in Jesus' name. Thank you again. Bye-bye.